You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome back to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Saturday's edition of the podcast where we've got a very busy day of racing. Fingers crossed we get all the meetings on as well. Doncaster are inspecting early Saturday morning, but hopefully we get some action on Town Moor where the final Group 1 of the flat season takes centre stage in the Virtue and Futurity Trophy a little bit later on. And there's also good group racing on the level at Newbury. We've got jumping at Kelso and of course it's the second day of Cheltenham's October meeting to come in the afternoon. So pretty busy on the domestic front. We've also got an evening card at Chelmsford City, plus Irish racing at Leopardstown and Galway. You can join Luke Elder, Andrew Mountain, Paddy Aspel in the studio for all of the action from 1:05 on Saturday. Sam Norris here, and joining me on today's edition of the podcast, it's a very warm welcome to Will Smith. How are you, sir?
Hello, Sam. Very good, thank you. Very good. Pleasure to be here.
You must be in your element now that the jumping is back in full swing. Will, obviously we have that Chepstow meeting, which is the general curtain raiser, but there's something extra special about getting Cheltenham back.
Oh no, definitely as well, and particularly with the ground as it is as well, because we've had a bit of rain, so it's proper jumping ground. We've had, on the Friday, we had big fields, and there are decent fields as well for Saturday upcoming. Obviously it's not so good, the weather, in terms of how things are shaping up for Doncaster, because it was pretty wet there on Friday, so fingers crossed for Saturday's card. But yeah, great to have Cheltenham back. It's it is the HQ, isn't it? And there's nothing like the buzz that you get when you wake up on the morning and realise that you've got a Cheltenham meeting, and just trying to sort of rein yourself in and not get too excited about the number of bets you put on, because it's fiendishly competitive as ever.
Yeah, definitely so. I feel that this year as well, the October meeting has produced maybe a higher level of quality than we've seen over the last couple of years. It's always a meeting that attracts a lot of interest because it is the first of the season. Yep. Maybe just the last couple of years it hasn't had the kind of horse that we've seen on display on the Friday.
Yeah, no, very much. And that's just the ground. It has to be the ground.
Yeah.
Because we've had rains earlier on the last couple of weeks, so horses have probably been schooled and they've been galloped on grass, so they're ready for a run. And also the race course itself, the ground will be safe enough. It'll probably be pretty soft on Saturday, actually, after a bit more rain over the evening, but it was good, safe ground, proper jumping ground on Friday. It's all systems go, really. While the weather is like that and the ground is like that, trainers are keen to run their horses, which is great.
It certainly is. We'll have a quick look back on some of the headline performers on the Friday of the Cheltenham card before we move on to look at some of Saturday's racing. Generally, these small field novice chases are criticised, but we won't mind too many of them if they produce the kind of quality that we had in the 2:35 with Al Dancer winning the race. Only had three rivals to beat, but one of them was Getaway Trump, who again, along with Al Dancer, two very exciting novice chases for the season going forward. What did you make of Al Dancer's performance today? He was pushed out to sort of win by four lengths. It wasn't an emphatic, spectacular victory, but it was job done. Reasonably impressed?
Yeah, I was. It didn't blow me away by any stretch, but equally, it didn't put the thought in my head that, oh, I want to take him on every other time he appears over fences. It was one of those where I'm sure, given the quality in opposition, most namely, I know Getaway Trump finished third, but he was definitely the second best horse in the race. He just lacked for maybe a little bit of fitness in the closing stages, and that told with the mistake he made at two out, where Harry Cobden really asked him for a big one to come and challenge Al Dancer, and he just put in an extra stride and fiddled his way over, which maybe just suggested he didn't quite have the gas to really fly it, which suggested, as would also the way that all Paul Nicholls horses have been running at the minute, and they're just going to need the run, and they'll be much better next time out. So Paul Nicholls equally will be delighted, I'm sure, in being beaten five lengths by Al Dancer. That's no bad thing. We saw that Al Dancer, in winning those couple of handicap hurdles last season, he was a horse really to whet the appetite and take higher order. Yes, he disappointed in the Supreme, but there might have been other reasons for that. But I'd certainly take positives from both Al Dancer and Getaway Trump, and also the horse that eventually finished second, Not That Fuisse, who actually probably jumped the most poorly of the four runners, but then in the straight ran on pretty strongly to claim second place. So he's got an official mark of 131, which won't be changed because you the rules are now that in novice chases you can't change the mark unless you win. So he would look, you know, if they can find a handicap for him next time out over 2.5 on decent enough ground, he would look a very attractive betting proposition. But I shouldn't let that secret out, but I think there's enough people that have probably noticed it that I'm not really not letting too much away there.
Indeed. I'm glad you mentioned Paul Nicholls there in that sense, because it does seem in these first few weeks of the season a lot of the Nicholls runners are just looking as though they need the run, which is not necessarily something we always associate with the yard, but this year quite a few of them have just looked as though they'd come on a great deal for their first experience of the season.
I mean, I think it changes from year to year, and he always does state it that whatever they do first time out, they'll be much better next time out. So it might well be that maybe other trainers, because of the weather we've had the back end of the summer and a lot more horses have come out, maybe a lot of other trainers have their horses more forward than they usually do. So it might just be, accentuating maybe the fact that Paul Nicholls' horses do need that run just a little bit more than some others do at this time of year. It's certainly, nothing to worry about. He's not having the winners that you sometimes expect from him, but I wouldn't mind betting that come November, December, when all these horses are having their second, third runs, we'll see the winning machine from Ditchit back up and running.
Last word on Al Dancer and Getaway Trump, then before we move on to Saturday. As you know, in this game, we're always looking forward, Will. What of those two in top-graded novice chases later on in the season?
At this stage of the year, at any stage of any year, I'm always on the lookout for Cheltenham Anti-Post.
I'm glad you said that, because some people hate the idea of talking too much about the festival early on.
I think you have to, because if you see your performances and you think, well, okay, that horse is really suited to a certain type of race, the trainer will be thinking that surely as well. And if you can get a decent price now, I have no qualms about locking in a decent price at this stage. It has to be a decent price. I mean, not going to go and back something at 3-1 now if it's going to go off 5-1 on the day. That would be silly. But in terms of Al Dancer, obviously he's 14-1 for the Arkle. That to me, I can leave that at the minute. There are other horses that are going to go chasing that we are yet to see that might well throw up some pretty decent performances. We haven't seen any Willie Mullins novice chases as yet, which is obviously very noticeable. And Paul Nicholls will have a few horses to add into that mix as well. So, look, in terms of having an Anti-Post bet on Al Dancer or Getaway Trump, at the moment I'm keeping my powder dry. There was nothing that popped into my head that suggested I should definitely look into backing either in any particular Anti-Post race. But that's not to say that might not change on their next couple of starts. I did see a horse actually that I have backed for the JLT, though, Brewing Up a Storm at Carlisle. Carlisle on Thursday, just to go off piste a little bit here. He again was another one that the trainer would have mentioned would have come on markedly for the run. And I think 2.5 will be his trip. He ran a corker behind a reserve tank at Aintree last year. Wasn't quite finishing off his races. Travelled up into them like the best horse in most of them. He's had a wind up and he jumped really, or his jumping got better as his race at Carlisle went along. That was over in an adequate 2 miles. He just managed to collar the leader there in the shadows of the post. And it was a really, really taking performance. I think a horse who's already shown a liking for Cheltenham, already shown he likes 2.5 ground, likes goodish ground, but performs with cut in the ground. He was around about 25-1 after that race yesterday for the JLT, and that looked too big to me, so I'm happy to admit that I went in on that.
Okay, good stuff there. And as you say, we'll see a little bit more from Ireland over the course of this weekend, and there's a good beginner's chase at Galway on Sunday, I think. Battle of the Doyens entered in that, so again, maybe for further staying chases, but I'm sure we'll see a couple from Ireland over the course of this
weekend. We'll have Down Royal as well next weekend, won't we, as well, the same weekend as Charlie Hall weekend at Weatherby. So
yeah, because they have the Grade 1 chase there, don't they, which used to be the JNY, but I don't think it's called that this year.
Is it called the Champion Chase now? Obviously not the Champion Chase, but a Champion Chase of certain ilk.
Looking forward to that, the first sort of Grade 1 open race either side of the Irish Sea of the new jump season. Let's get on to Saturday's racing though, and we're at Cheltenham for a couple of races on this edition. As we record this, Doncaster's meeting is in jeopardy. They've got an early morning inspection, so we'll focus in on the jumps action at Prestbury Park, starting with the 2 o'clock. Big field handicap chase here over 3 miles and a furlong. We are betting on this one at the time of recording as well. Cogri is open as the 7-1 favourite. 17-2 for West Approach. Rock the Casbah 9-1. The Young Master 9-1. 11-1 for Rocky's Treasure. Back to the Thatch is 14-1. Cobra de Mai 14-1 with Cross Park. Attractalia Boo is 14-1. One for the Road Tom 14-1. 16s and bigger the rest. Big field, staying chase at Cheltenham. This has all the potential to be a properly good race to enjoy. And you've gone with a horse who loves Cheltenham.
Yeah, absolutely. Cogri, who has reappeared in this particular race for the last three seasons.
Right.
So it's clearly, when he finishes season in March or April time, Nigel Twiston-Davies whispers in his ears, come on, son, just have a good summer. We'll get you back in Cheltenham in October and you'll be fit and ready for then. And he invariably is because he... 3 years ago, he fell too early to get into contention. But 2 years ago, he won the race off a mark of 1.33. Last year, he ran a belting race in second when just being beaten by Relentless Dreamer, who is a very, very good horse in his own right and a horse that's best course fresh as well. Best caught fresh, should I say. And that was off a mark of 1.35. He went on to win at the December meeting at Cheltenham last year. So he's up to 1.39. I don't think that handicap marks really... make a huge amount of difference in this type of race. It's just a suitability for the type of race that it is. We definitely know Cogri likes Cheltenham. We know he likes this time of year. He's trained by a trainer that will have him fit and ready. I think actually, if anything, soft ground might help him. He's only ever been raced on good ground last season, but that was probably a case of the weather that we're having rather than any particular necessity for it. But he's run, so if you go back through some bits of his form, he's got some really, really good cracking form on soft or heavy ground, more so when he was a younger horse, but he's got any number of wins on soft or heavy and really good runs in deep handicap company as well on soft or heavy. I mean, he finished third in a Midlands National over 4.25 miles on real soft ground there, finished sixth in the Midlands National the year after. Maybe doesn't quite get home over 4 miles on that kind of ground, but he's got a real suitability for this race. And you know what you'll get from him, Sam. We'll bounce him out in front, and it'll take a good one to get past him.
Yeah, and such is the quality of the race. Not getting a bad price batted as well. There's already been money for this. The market opened at 9-1, already trimmed into 7-1, but still backable at an each-way price with plenty in there, and that's 2 o'clock race at Cheltenham. We stay at Cheltenham then for 3:45 over the hurdles this time, over 3 miles. This is a Potemps Series qualifier. To Be Fair has opened as the 6-1 favourite. The Clock Is Ticking is 13-2. I Write 7-1. Never Been to Paris is 8-1. Gunfleet 9-1. 10-1 Captain Tommy. Bigger prices for the rest of them. Again, a very, very interesting race on the way here. Will, what's the pick going to be?
It's going to be one a big price here. Doubly Clever for Johnny Farrelly with Luca Morgan taking £7 off. This horse, you go back through his career, and he actually ran in the Fred Winter Hurdle of 2016 off a mark of 1.35 when trained by his previous trainer Michael Blake, and he ran an absolute belter there to finish fifth, only beaten 5 lengths, like I say, off 1.35. His career just went the wrong way, really. He ended up winning a couple of handicaps in the marks in the mid 120s in 2017, but just never quite really confirmed the promise that he showed back in that season when he ran at the festival. Now he's joined Johnny Farrelly midway through the summer when Johnny Farrelly picked him up out of a selling hurdle at Stratford, and he's run three absolutely brilliant races at Worcester and Worcester twice and Utox over 2.5 miles on good ground. As a consequence, he's climbed up the handicap from 1.18 back up to 1.32, and I just think this horse has been crying out for a real staying test for, well, the whole of his career, essentially. The fact that as a four-year-old he stayed on strongly up the hill in the Fred Winter off that kind of mark, he's still below that mark that he ran off then, so he's very nicely handicapped. It's his first proper try at a three-mile trip, and he's been in great form for a jockey that gets a great tune out of him and can take £7 off his back. So at a price of 16-1, he looks way too big to me. Just the one slight doubt is if it gets really bottomless, if they have loads of rain, but he's fit. He's run well on heavy ground at Exeter before. He's got good form on soft as well. He's won races on soft. So I'd prefer it to be, you know, on the better side, but equally the soft ground might bring in his fitness element. So he just looks overpriced to me. Doubly Clever for Johnny Farrelly and Luca Morgan in the 3:45.
Yeah, currently 16-1 for that race, Doubly Clever. Don't forget you can join us on Racing Radio from 1:05 on Saturday afternoon for all of the action. Luke Elder will be joined by Andrew Mount once again, and Paddy Aspel is the third member of the studio team. We'll have Ken Pitson out and about as well on Saturday. Hope you can join us for all of that. Will, thank you very much. A pleasure as always, and enjoy Cheltenham on Saturday.
Cheers, Sam. You too.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.